Well, two rookies with very bright futures at quarterback are clashing Sunday afternoon at FedEx. Do the Redskins have enough to increase their winning streak and get past the Seahawks in the playoffs? We sat down with WTOP sports reporters George Wallace, Craig Heist, and Clinton Yates, the local news editor for the Washington Post Express, to preview the game. Our own Del Walter is sitting in as well. And we started with George Wallace talking about RG3's knee in a brace and whether Robert's knee is in worse shape than you might think.
No, I don't think so, Dimitri. From what he said this week, too, it's close to 100%. And more of the hindrance now is actually the brace. He basically said he didn't really need the brace, but doctors think it's a good idea just to be cautious to keep it on. So who knows? He could come out of the tunnel on Sunday and not have a brace on at all.
Or he could come out of the tunnel and re-sprain the knee. Who knows?
Now, that's not nice.
But here's the thing. The knee brace does hinder him a little bit. But I think with the Redskins running game, with Albert Morris, like we saw in the Cowboys game, was he going to go for 200 yards? Don't think so. But if that's effective, then RG3 can pick and choose his spots where he wants to be effective and, you know, roll out, do his thing. We saw that a couple times in the Cowboys game, and he got some crucial first downs at times.
There's an argument, I think, that the brace is actually an advantage. I mean, people think that he can't run as fast as he normally does with it. Yeah, he's slowed slightly, but he can still move. He can still, as you mentioned, get those extra yards. And if you find yourself playing a defense where you think, I don't know, maybe Bob can't move as well as he used to be able to, you're going to get burned. I think keeping the brace on is the right move because, if nothing else, it offers a little bit of a deception tool for defenses.
All right, Heisty, we'll start with you. Are we talking about two teams that could possibly be more evenly matched as far as looking alike in terms of their offensive scheme?
They do so much alike, but I think the one thing here, Dell, that you have to consider, Seahawks, 3-5 team on the road, they were 8-0 at Quest Field. That's going to be a huge, huge thing for them to overcome at FedEx Field, in my mind.
And, you know, as far as being identical, if it's that identical, I look at the fact, the health factor, too. If Russell Wilson is 100% and Robert Griffin III isn't, you maybe give Russell Wilson a little bit of an advantage there. I think also the Seahawks cornerbacks, as far as advantage, those guys, they can cover and they can hit people. So you're going to have to count on the Redskins receivers to make some catches and expect to get hit.
Clinton, I don't want to influence your answer here, but I don't think these teams are mirror images just because one is very, very healthy and the Redskins are chipped up.
Right. I mean, and let's not also forget Seattle won more games this year, the other barometer that we cannot forget about. We talked about the secondary. Brandon Browner is coming back off of that 4-game suspension. It'll be interesting to see how he fits in because the timing when you're on defense dealing with that triple option pistol situation is very, very difficult to figure out. And if you're just sort of walking back onto a team after being effectively on the street for a month, it might not be that easy for him to get back on rhythm with the defense. So I'm very interested in seeing how their secondary handles things, considering that, you know, there's somebody re-entering the field.
And Clinton, you talk about that, and especially for, yes, the secondary, they kind of see what Russell Wilson does in practice, just as this Redskins defense gets a chance to practice against Griffin. But if you're coming back, you mentioned that timing issue. As deceiving as this offense has been, we've seen how defenses have had a tough time just stopping Griffin and Morris and Griffin, you know, with that pistol formation. That's going to be an added thing in there as far as them not being ready for it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with that at all.
What about the Ravens-Colts game? Heisty, let's start with you on this one. That's another big matchup.
Well, I'll be at that one, and I think there's so much emotion plays into this one. Ray Lewis has announced his retirement. He'll come running out of that tunnel at M&T Bank Stadium for the last time. That place will be jacked up like it's never been jacked up before, emotion-wise. But then in the end, it's still going to come down, in my mind, to Joe Flacco, how he does, and this team goes as far in the playoffs as Joe Flacco takes them.
There's an argument that that team with Ray Lewis is not as good of a team as they are without Ray Lewis, particularly because he's coming back off of an injury. There are people that believe that there could be a problem in terms of if he is not playing the game that he should be playing, nobody's going to want to ask him to get off the field because of the retirement announcement and so forth. Again, I love Ray Lewis. I think he's, you know, one of, if not the best linebacker, middle linebacker of the modern era and so forth. But you've got to really think about, if you're the Ravens, whether or not he provides the biggest advantage possible, because that emotion could in fact go the wrong way for them.
Well, obviously in a lot of ways they've been a better team defensively without him, and their record proves that from the time he's been out over the last 2 years with injuries.
I didn't even think about that fact as far as if you're going to pull him or not. What I'm looking at is Andrew Luck going into his first playoff game against a veteran quarterback in Joe Flacco. Ravens obviously a different team at home, but does the pressure get to Andrew Luck? We haven't seen him rattled at all this year.
I don't think it gets to him from a rookie standpoint. I don't think anybody on the Ravens defense, especially the coaching staff, thinks that Andrew Luck plays anywhere near like a rookie now. There are about 6 or 7 rookies on this Colts team who are going to get their first shot at playoff experience. How they handle it, I think, will be another story.
I'm going to turn it to predictions now. We'll just kind of go through the schedule here. Bengals, Texans, Heisty. Tennessee.
Texans.
Houston wins.
Houston? Clinton?
Yeah, I've got Houston. I mean, I don't see this going any differently than last year did.
I have the Bengals.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no. Packers-Viking, let's start with you, George.
I don't think that Minnesota beats Green Bay back-to-back weeks. Packers are at home. Go with Green Bay.
Icedy.
Well, they told Adrian Peterson he's not going to get 200 this week at Lambeau, so I'm going to go with the Packers.
Clinton?
Yeah, I'm going with the Packers as well. I thought it was kind of odd that Rodgers said that home field advantage wasn't that big a deal, that he'd rather play in a dome. But
I got the Pack, too, on this one, Taylor.
You got the Pack?
Ain't
going to
happen two games in a row.
Ravens-Colts starting with Heisty.
I think the Ravens are going to play well and win this game. What they do the rest of the way, Dimitri, I have no clue.
Well, you're lucky we're not asking you for the rest of the way.
That's right.
I think the Ravens win at home, too. I think that they bounce back. They're a good home playoff team. And I tell you what, as soon as Ray Lewis walks out of that tunnel, I think the Colts are done.
Clinton?
I think the Colts are going to win this football game. I actually think that they got something special going on here with that Chuck Pagano situation. He's also a former Ravens coordinator. He knows a little bit about that team. I think the Colts actually could walk in M&T and win a ball game.
I agree with Clinton on that one. I think the Colts are going to take it. How about the Redskins-Seahawks? George.
Well, I'm going with the Redskins. I think they're on a roll. I think if this game were being played in Seattle, it would be a lot tougher. But lucky for us, it's not being played in Seattle, and I don't have to go a long way for the game. Go with the Redskins.
I've covered two playoff games at Quest Field, and it's the loudest place I have ever been in anywhere. They're not there this week. They're at FedEx, and that's why I'm picking the Redskins to win.
Clinton?
I think the Redskins are going to win it. I think they're going to have to come from behind to do it, and I think Kai Forbath is really going to make his money as a kicker this week.
Redskins, duh.
Should I be the contrarian again? I can't.
You can't be the contrarian.
I can't say the Seahawks are going to win this. The Redskins are going to win it, but it's going to be very close.
Before Dimitri gets back, we just got to get back to the Bengals. Does he know that the Bengals have never won a road playoff game? I just want to throw that out there, Dimitri.
And if he was going to pick Seattle, I was about ready to stop calling him Dimitri and start calling him Brennan Hazelton.
I agree with him about the Bengals. Bengals are going to take it.
Oh,
watch.
All right.
Well, there we are, all in one room having a little too much fun. WTOP sports reporters George Wallace, Craig Heist, and Clinton Yates on the phone. He's the local news editor for the Washington Post Express, native Washingtonian, longtime, lifelong Skins fan. So good luck to the Skins on Sunday.